Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Welcome this morning. Y'all can be seated. So glad that you're here. And anybody get sprinkled on the way here? Did it? All right, bring it on. I was talking to Barbara Ehlers this morning, 9 inches on her farm south of town. Isn't that incredible? 9 inches. So anyway, and by the way, may we not just get sprinkled on this morning, may we get poured on and in the very presence of the Lord. God inhabits the praises of his people. We're going to praise him, and may he inhabit not just this place, but may he inhabit us this morning. So glad that you're here, and kids are back from camp, and then more kids going tomorrow. Actually, you guys have to go today. So did y'all just rent a room up there at City Canyon? So, yeah. Do you know that Haley's coming to go with us? Okay, all right, okay. So I just thought maybe I should tell you that. So anyway, we should talk. I realized last week Joel left and went to camp, and I thought, I haven't talked to him. We were at VBS all week, and I haven't asked him and talked to him about any, were there any issues and stuff. And so all I could say is, man, we're praying. And y'all, we're still praying, because what happens at camp, in that canyon down in that we call Cedar Canyon, what happens in that camp, in that canyon, literally can change not just lives today, but change the world tomorrow. And so that's why we invest in what we do. And those aren't the announcements. The announcements this morning, we have music camp coming in a couple of weeks. That's entering grade 2nd through 8th. And it's a Bible boot camp this year. It's so much fun. Andy's written this, and it really is great. And but if you would like to help, or if you have kids or grandkids who would like to go, please talk to Andy, or just QR code it. You can see about it. And then the next week, Delita's Worship and Wiggles. Sorry, I'm killing you up there, Elsie. Worship and Wiggles is the next week, and so y'all enjoy this. We do all this stuff, VBS, investing in campers, going to camp all ages. The music camps is because we really do take seriously when Jesus says, let the little children come unto me. Because we know that the greatest thing we can do to change the world tomorrow is let Jesus change our kids today. And so thank you, all of the youth that are in the house that are a part of that, all the kids that are in the house that let God work in them, Joel and Elena, DeLee, may God continue to just do what he's doing. Bless y'all, to be a blessing. Lord Jesus, come this morning. Meet us in this place. And yes, Lord, don't just sprinkle down your presence. Pour out your presence upon us. We are here today. We come in this house. We've heard in our different Sunday school classes and at this prayer altar this morning, we've heard great, great needs. The needs in this house are huge. Lord, big. Crisis is great. God, but you are greater. Your love, your presence, the power of your spirit is greater than whatever our needs may be. Meet us here today, Lord, as we come to this table of grace, this holy table, your table, Jesus. May we come to you this morning. In your name, amen. All right, let's stand together to do our mission statement. Ready? St. Luke's is a Christ-centered family of grace where all persons are welcome and wanted. We're committed to reach, grow, and send forth fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. This is the very last of the Gospel of Matthew. It's the very last words that Jesus will speak to his disciples before he ascends into heaven. Hear and receive the word of the Lord. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Lord Jesus, this morning, let your word become real to us and alive in us, this morning, Lord, may we not simply read your word on the screen or hear it read from your Bible, but Lord, let your word be planted within us. Let your word be alive and active like a two-edged sword piercing to the core of our being. Lord, it's your voice we need to hear. Lord, it's your call upon our lives that we need to hear. So, Lord, come and move and work in this your house, in this your church, in this your Christ-centered family. In your name we pray. Amen. Y'all can be seated. So on Friday, Elon Musk became the world's first trillionaire. You probably saw this. And now, that's not right. You know what, Elsie, you got nothing up there, do you? Andy Coward, are you anywhere? Andy! And neither is Jamar. Jamar! Well, y'all, you're going to live without notes until one of them fix it. So can you go to 8:30, just open 8:30, Elsie? Andy Coward's coming. Yeah, boy, look at Andy run. Run, Andy, run. Run, Andy, run. Dude, thank y'all. I am so sorry. You know who's supposed to copy it from the 8:30 to the 10:45? Anyway. I'm going, Elsie's not even making faces at me or throwing spitwads at me, so I'm sorry. You were so cool. So, y'all just going to open 8:30 or how, you're going to, okay, all right. Well, you can, y'all, I don't have to put Elon Musk up there, but I will put the number up there. It's not one with six zeros, right? That's a millionaire. It's not one with nine zeros. That's a billionaire. It's one with 12 zeros. That's a trillionaire. But y'all, that is a lot of zeros, and that's a lot of money. And some would say that's a lot of power. But y'all, that money has zero power, zero authority to give Mr. Musk the one thing he needs most in his life. The one thing that he needs most in his life is a saving, life-changing, world-changing relationship with Jesus. And that, my friends, is a reality that cannot be bought. That is a gift that can only be received. In our passage this morning, we heard Jesus' plan for our salvation and for the salvation of this world. We read and heard Jesus' plan for the transformation of your life and my life and for the transformation of this world. And Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 18, that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. The Greek word for authority is exousia. Exousia means authorized power. It means delegated empowerment to act. Exousia is used 10 different times in the Gospel of Matthew, and we're not going to do all 10 verses, but we are going to look at 4 verses so that we can see what exousia means, so we can see the exousia of Jesus made real in the Gospel of Matthew, made real in his ministry. So first, we see that Jesus has exousia authority to heal our brokenness. We're still not good with scripture yet. Andy, close? Or is it, there we go. Okay, we're together. Thank y'all for saving me. All right. So this is Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. And Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, again, this is a Roman centurion. These are the enemies of the Jews, and this is who Jesus is in conversation with. And the centurion said, Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority and with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell this one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and come from the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of this kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be no more, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus said to the centurion, he said, go. Let it be done as you have believed it would. And this servant, his servant, was healed at that very moment. Y'all, Jesus has the authority to heal our brokenness. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So the same Jesus that spoke this word of healing to this centurion's servant desires to speak healing to you. Where are you broken? Where are you hurting? Where is your family struggling? Where do you need his touch this morning? Second, we see that Jesus has exudes the authority to deliver us from evil. Jesus has the authority to set the captives free. Matthew chapter 9, while they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute, he spoke. The crowd was amazed. Again, it said, nothing like this has ever been seen before in all Israel. In Matthew 8, Jesus is in the village of Capernaum. It's kind of his home away from home. And Matthew 8, tells us that when evening came, this is right after Jesus has healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Y'all remember that story? Jesus heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and she's sick, and then she gets up, and she serves them supper. So healing always leads to supper. And I don't know that. Anyway, okay. But when the evening came, after they'd had dinner, supper, many who were demon-possessed were brought to Jesus. And Jesus drove out the spirits with a word, with just a word. And Jesus healed all the sick. 1 John chapter 3 speaks clearly of Jesus' authority over evil. For this reason, the Son of Man appeared to us to destroy the devil's work. So this morning, I want you to think about the most not of God thing happening in your life right now. Think about the most not of God thing going on in your family or going on in your relationships or going on the most not of God thing going on in your own heart. And whatever that not of God thing is in your life, I want to invite you to invite Jesus to come and destroy, to come and take away that evil. I want to invite you to invite Jesus to come and deliver you, to come and deliver us from the evil one and from the evil at work in our lives. Remember how Jesus taught us to pray, right? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one and all his effects, all his work, all his influence in our lives. Third, we see that Jesus has exousia in Matthew 7, that Jesus has exousia authority in his teaching. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers, their teachers of the law. Jesus wasn't giving the people lip service. Jesus wasn't offering them information for information's sake. Jesus, right, wasn't giving them a TED talk with three really cool points. Jesus was giving them God's truth that had the power to change their lives forever. And by the way, Jesus never just talked the talk. He walked the walk. His words were backed up by his actions. In John 12, this is how Jesus talked about his own teaching. This is John 12, 49 and 50. For I did not speak, Jesus is teaching here, for I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say, Jesus says, is just what the Father told me to say. Y'all, the word of God, which is, we hear here, the word of Jesus, it will never return void. This word, right, will always produce fruit and growth in your life. And so if you find yourself this morning, you're stuck. I mean, you go, man, where I am today is where I was 10 years ago. Or where I am today is where I was 2 years ago. Where I am today is where I was 3 months ago. If you're stuck, I just want to say, Are you in his word and letting his word be in you? This is the word of God, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the core of our being, doing within us only what God can do, forming and transforming us into the very image of Jesus. Fourth, we see that Jesus has exousia, authority to forgive sin, authority to forgive us. Matthew chapter 9, some men brought to Jesus a paralyzed man lying on a mat. This is the story in other gospels where they cut a hole in the roof and they lower the paralyzed man down on a mat right in front of Jesus, right before his feet. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Dude, I thought he was paralyzed. Jesus saw beyond the man's physical need to what was really going on. "My son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law, they scoffed and said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming. Who does he think he is?" And knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain such evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, my son, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And then the man did. He took up his mat, he got up, then he went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe. And they praised God who had given such authority to man. Y'all, where do you need forgiveness this morning? I mean, what's been going on where you've been going your way, not his way? Where have you literally harmed others trying to protect yourself? Where do you need forgiveness? Jesus, who forgave 2,000 years ago, is still forgiving this morning, June 14th, 2026. He was in the forgiveness business then. He's in the forgiveness business now. And the promise is, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just, and he'll forgive your sins and then cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's what this table is about. Fourth, we see that Jesus has exousia. Jesus, this exousia, the way that Jesus said, it came from the Father. The exousia, the authorized power of Jesus, comes straight from the Father. And here in Matthew 28, after Jesus has accomplished and finished the Father's work on the cross, after Jesus has risen from the grave, he now stands with his disciples, these last words, and he says to them again, verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus is above all. Jesus is over all. Jesus has been given the absolute right to rule and reign over this universe and over us. Over you, over me. And now, don't miss this. Now watch the very next word. This is, again, Matthew 28, 18 and 19. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And then here's the word, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Y'all, don't miss this. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. And so what does Jesus do with all that authority that he's been given from the Father? What does he do? He gives it away to us. What was he thinking, right? He gives us the authority and the responsibility to do a very specific task. I mean, there may be a ton of things in our lives that we have the ability to do. I mean, Elon Musk has the ability to make money, obviously. Andy Coward has the ability to make music, obviously. Scotty Scheffler has the ability to play golf. My friend Kevin has the ability to fix cars. Many of you have or have had the ability in the past to be effective educators. When I was growing up, I had the ability to do 1,000 push-ups a day, 50 at a time, mind you. I think I could barely do 20 this morning if I tried and wanted to embarrass myself. I have the ability, thank God, to walk, the ability to talk, the ability to type, the ability to drive. Now, Janie might say that's debatable, but y'all, don't miss this. Here in this passage, Jesus is giving us, all of us, the authority and therefore the ableness and the responsibility to do what? Therefore, you're right. Whenever you see therefore in the Bible, you go, why is therefore therefore? And therefore, right, it's the connection between that which has just been said. Jesus said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, the connection between what has just been said and what he's fixing to say. And what he says is, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Ta ethne, that means all people. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. For surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. There is one verb here. Now, I know y'all are going, it looks like there's one verb and there's three participles in these two verses. Jesus, here's what he's doing. Jesus is giving us the authority and the responsibility to make disciples. What is a disciple? In our mission statement, we say on Sunday mornings, and we said this morning, we define a disciple as a fully devoted follower of Jesus. More clearly, a disciple of Jesus is someone who's becoming more and more like Jesus. A disciple of Jesus is someone who believes in Jesus, someone who follows Jesus, someone who serves Jesus, someone who loves Jesus. If Jesus, right, you got to follow me here. We're supposed to be like him. If Jesus made disciples, guess what his disciples are supposed to do? We, disciples of Jesus, we too are called to make disciples. Because that's what Jesus did. That's what we're supposed to do. True and authentic disciples of Jesus, and hopefully that's every single person in this house this morning. True and authentic disciples of Jesus are called and empowered to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Now wait, Andy, isn't that your job? Absolutely. And it's yours, and it's yours, and it's yours, and it's yours, and it's yours. And it's all of ours together. Theologians call Matthew 28 the Great Commission because it is a co-mission that we are on, all of us on with Jesus, along with him, because surely he is with us to the very end of the age, with us always until the very end of the age. The mission of Jesus is to make disciples, to change this world. And that mission involves every single one of us in this room. His mission to go and make disciples of ethne, all the peoples on this earth, involves every single person watching online. His great commission that we are joining him in to change this world and love this world, even as he has, involves every single follower of Jesus on this planet. Because all of us have been given the authority and responsibility of making disciples. Francis Chan is a great communicator, and he gives this great 3-minute talk that challenges how most Christians deal with the Great Commission and how I, in my own life, have dealt with the Great Commission. Chan says, imagine if I walked into my daughter's bedroom and found an absolute mess. I mean, things were just everywhere. And then imagine I go to her and give her a very simple, direct command. Honey, go clean your room. He then asked the audience to imagine what would happen if he came back a few hours later and the room was still an absolute disaster, but his daughter came up to him. She was all excited and happy. She said, Dad, I memorized what you said. Listen, it goes like this. Honey, go clean your room. Isn't that great? Or Dad, I can even say,
go clean your room in the original Greek language, right? Dad, my friends and I are actually going to get together later this week, and we're going to have a small group and discuss and figure out what it would look like if I actually cleaned my room. We're going to talk about it, right? We're going to discuss it, and we're even going to sing some songs about cleaning. Chan points out that as a father, none of us would let that fly. No father would be impressed with any of that. Instead, Chan said that I would go to my daughter and say, "Are you crazy? I didn't ask you to memorize it or study it or translate it. I asked you to go and do it." Jesus is looking for those of us who are willing to go and do it. He is looking for those of us who are willing to truly follow him and obey him. So how do we do this thing called discipleship? How do we make disciples? Truth is, it's in the participles. We are to go, we're to baptize, and we are to teach folks to obey all that he commanded. Go. Jesus never called people, you know, to go to the church. But y'all, he did call the church. He did call us to go to the people. Just as Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, we are called to do the same. We're called to go to where people are. We're called to meet them at their place of need. We don't wait for them to show up here on some random Sunday morning. We greet them, meet them, love them where they are, where we work, where we live, where we play, where we learn. That's where we meet those who need Jesus. Man, have you seen some of the cotton that's coming? I mean, it's like it was barely coming up when we got this thing called rain. It went poof. It's so awesome. In God willing, in October or November, that harvest is going to be plentiful. And we're going to look at it. It's going to be just this white fields everywhere. And then we're going to go, man, I can't wait till somebody gets that cotton in the gin. We got to go harvest the cotton. The cotton doesn't just, whoop, I go show up at the gin. Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. Y'all, that's us. The harvest won't happen by itself. It happens as we partner with Jesus and what Jesus calls us to do and who he calls us to be. And we're called to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. By the way, baptism, it's all about water, but it's not just about water. Baptism is the radical rite of inclusion into the body of Christ. It's when the person being baptized proclaims and experiences that their life belongs to Jesus. And it's also when we, the church, the body of Christ, say to the person being baptized that they belong to us. That they belong to our Christ-centered family of grace, that we belong to them. That's East Allen Jones. If I belong to Jesus and you belong to Jesus, then we belong to each other. And sometimes we're under the assumption that people believe and then they belong. Right? That's kind of the right formula. They got to believe and then they belong. But throughout the Gospels, throughout the New Testament, throughout the history of the church and the awakenings and revivals through the ages, belonging oftentimes precedes believing. In other words, before somebody ever gets to the place of saying yes to Jesus, the body of Christ, the youth group, the kids group, the church has already so loved them that they're so ready to say yes to Jesus. At VBS, like all week long, we're doing stuff and we're hanging out with the kids. And then we get to Thursday, and DeLee stands up and gives a clear, very concise message of how much Jesus loves the kids. And then she makes a simple invitation, and the kids go, poof, right? They run to come pray to ask Jesus into their lives. Why? Because for hours and hours, all week long, they have been loved by the body of Christ on behalf of Christ. I wish everybody would get it. You know, just get yourself all straightened out, and then we'll come love you. That's not the way it works. People want to be loved, accepted, and known. They want to be cared for by us this way. And then that paves the way for God's love to just abound to them this way. And then we're called to teach. So we are called to embrace. We're called to love. We're called to care. We're called to welcome everyone into the very presence of Jesus. And the more we love folks horizontally, the more they'll be open to God's love vertically. We're called to teach folks to obey Jesus. We're not, see, in the American world, the Western world, it's like, we've made discipleship all about, well, if I can just give you this information, in fact, I'll be giving y'all a little handout back here about the sermon this morning. We'll take a test on it on Wednesday. That's how we've treated discipleship. But the kind of learning that teaches folks not just to know, but actually obey Jesus, this kind of teaching happens in the context of authentic Christ-centered community. We're not just giving folks a fact sheet so they could pass a theological IQ test. We're teaching them to observe, to obey all that Jesus commanded. And this kind of learning and teaching only happens in authentic Christ-centered community as we're seeking to follow Jesus together, as we're seeking to grow in Jesus together, as we're seeking to love Jesus together. You speak into my life, I speak into yours, and man, we're arm in arm and we're going forward. We're going hard after Jesus together. Man, I can hear some of your hearts this morning. Andy, I don't know enough. How can I ever help anybody actually follow Jesus? I'm not ready. I'm not qualified. Please, right now, hear me. None of us are called to be theological experts. We are called to be, and we are empowered to be, spiritual-filled witnesses. Acts 1:8. But you'll receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Not might be, could be, should be, ought to be. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Y'all, all a witness does is share with others what they know about Jesus. You don't have to know it all. Just know what you know and share what you know. It's not about what you know, but rather about who you know. It's not about what you know that matters. It's about who you know that makes the difference. I love Romans 10, 13 through 15. It goes like this. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how then can they call on the name of the Lord? How can they call on one that they haven't believed in? But how can they believe in the one that they've never even heard of? And how can they hear without someone preaching, without someone sharing Jesus with them? And how can anyone preach? How can anyone share Jesus unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Y'all, guess who's sent? You are. I am. We are. In John, the way Jesus says it in his resurrection encounter, he says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. All of us are sent. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. Now, look, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That's what I'm supposed to be doing this morning. And so if I took off my shoes, I don't know if I'd feel my feet are that beautiful. But God says they are. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But y'all, these two feet, I'm trying to think, okay, today I'm going to run. I'm going to meet with my small group. And then tomorrow I'm going to run. I'm going to do something with my family. And then Tuesday morning I'm going to be with the guys. And Tuesday night I'm going to go to that meeting. And then Wednesday I've got prayer group. And then Wednesday night we've got grace group. These two feet can only go so far. But all of our feet, all of our beautiful feet, we can reach this city and this world for Jesus. Your feet, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I want to close with an invitation.
I want to go back to the very beginning, the scripture that's up there. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Now, you could do great research on this. Well, was it Mount Tabor? Was it this? I mean, it's great, great reading, interesting stuff. The important thing is they're with Jesus. They're on the mountain. He's ascending into heaven. And then watch this. When they saw him, they worshiped him. These are the guys. They saw Jesus put on the cross. They saw Jesus come out of that grave. They saw the tomb was empty. They worshiped him, but some doubted. The Greek word there is some hesitated. They saw it all, and they hesitated. Y'all, are you hesitating? Are you ready to go? Are you saying, yes, Lord? He's saying, well, maybe, Lord. Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's for them, but not for me. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some hesitated. May it not be so. May Jesus himself come and cast away the doubt. May Jesus come and haul out the hesitation. And may he simply fill us with his Holy Spirit anew and afresh. Remember, when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll be filled with power, dunamis. Jesus' word here is authority. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Again, this is not Jesus speaking to just 11 folks on a mountain. Jesus is speaking to all of us who will follow him through all the centuries, all the millennia of time. As the Father has sent me, Jesus says, so I send you. We come to this table this morning. This is the table of Jesus. It's not a Methodist table. It's the table of Jesus. It is a table of grace. It is a table where we meet with the one who can set us free from evil. It is a table where we meet with the one who can speak transforming truth into our lives. It is a table where he comes to heal our brokenness. It is a table where we receive the gift of life and the gift of grace. It is a table where we are forgiven and freed to fully belong to him. So y'all come hungry this morning to this table. Come hungry this morning to Jesus. He is here to meet with us. We remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. He gave thanks to his Father, and he broke the bread, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. And likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And once again, he gave thanks to his Father, and he poured the cup. He said, this is my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this. Eat this. In remembrance of Jesus. Jesus, we remember what you did long ago. We remember the call you gave those 11 disciples. And to remember is not just, oh yeah, it happened. But to remember is to re-experience the reality of Jesus' presence in the here and in the now. Come this morning, feast on the grace of Jesus. Jesus, thank you. Lord, that we don't just to come unto you, but Lord, in this time of worship, Lord, you have come unto us. And Lord, we thank you that your presence is not limited to these four walls, but Lord, you will go. You will go. You will never leave us or forsake us. You are with us always until the end of the age. With us at camp this week, with us at our workplace this week, with us as we go out from here into your mission field. And to the harvest, Lord, that you are with us always. Lord, we claim that. We need you. We've tried to walk alone, and it never works. So, God, we put our hand, we put our hearts, we put our lives into your embrace, into your grace. And, Lord, you continue to fill us.
You continue to put your very Holy Spirit into us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless y'all. Thank you for being here this morning.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.